amen, that we shall reap. Get the reaping. Amen. Get the reaping. Get those bonuses. Get those increases. Get those double promotions. Get those honorariums. Get those blessings. Get those checks in the mail. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 through 8. Again, we're talking about the gospel of Christ, gospel of Jesus Christ. Last week we talked about the good news of the gospel, the part one. We're talking about it part two. We're going to talk about the good news of the gospel and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 1 says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel. Everybody say the gospel. Which I preached to you, that you also received, in which you stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. That's point number one of the gospel. And he was buried. That's point number two. And that he rose again, point number three, on the third day according to the Scriptures. And he was seen by Cephas and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom a greater part remain to this present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. That's the fourth point. Jesus died, Jesus was buried, Jesus rose again, and he was seen alive, witnessed alive. Amen. For I am the least of all apostles. Amen. Well, I'll stop right there. Hallelujah. So those are the four points of the gospel that we says that the four elements, four main elements of the gospel that we present in very simple, profound terms. Praise God. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, our Lord, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And so we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Amen. We're not to be ashamed. Remember that song, I Am Not Ashamed. Amen. So if we're not ashamed, then the good news about Jesus is the good news that we continually proclaim and we preach to others. We talk about with others. We explain that the gospel is good news. It is the message that makes you glad. Amen. If you're sad and mad all the time, then you need more gospel. Amen. Mark 16, verse 15 says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So our great commission, our great mandate and mission as a believer and Christ follower is that we are to be a partner and a participant in proclaiming the good news about Jesus Christ. Our partnership and our participation in the gospel, in the mission and mandate of the Great Commission, means that we proclaim and preach the good news about Jesus. And so when's the last time you told people good news? It's unfortunate Christians are in the flesh or in the carnal sense gravitate toward the negative, and they talk more about the bad news and the bad things that are happening and what the devil's doing and not what God has done. We are supposed to be the polarizing entity in the earth. We're the salt and light. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth, not the salt of the church, but the salt of the earth. That means the earth needs preserving. The earth needs seasoning. If you work in a business or a company or an industry, you're that salt there. You're the light there. He said, you're the light of the world. You're not the light of the church. because Jesus is the light to the church. Amen. But we're the light to the world. In the dark world, we're to be the light. But we're supposed to carry that torch, that flaming light, that bright light about the good news of Jesus Christ. His death, his burial, his resurrection, praise God, and that he was seen alive by over 500 people. We said last week that all the Bible is not good news, but the gospel is all good news. And it is the power of God unto salvation. So the same power that was in the event when Jesus died, when Jesus was buried, when he was raised from the dead, the same power that's in was in the event is in the message. Amen. So if we convey the message, if we communicate the message, we'll be communicating the power of God. Some people say, well, I need more power, Pastor. No, you don't need more power because God released all his power in the gospel event. But he then put it in the message about the event. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And so when we preach the cross, as we said last week, we preach the power of God. It's the language of the cross. Now today we're going to talk about the power of the blood, because there was the blood being shed there on the cross before he was on the cross, after he was raised from the dead. That blood did something for you and me. So we're going to emphasize the power of the blood. Last week we emphasized the power of the cross, because that's all in that gospel context. So the power of the blood. Everybody say the power of the blood. You know the Bible is a bloody book. Now some of us might like those horror movies where there are lots of blood and guts and horror. I don't. But if you look at the Bible, there's a lot, there's a bloodline. From Genesis, like one preacher says, from Genesis to Revolution. But it's Revelations, actually. He said Genesis. Trying to get y'all to laugh a little bit. From Genesis to Revelation, there's all about the blood. You know, when we get to heaven, guess what songs you're going to be singing? About the blood. He redeemed us back to God by his own blood. You better start practicing blood songs today, because some of us are closer to that side than this side. So you better get your repertoire of blood songs up so you can be tuned up, and you won't be that one saying, huh, looking around. You know, it's cute when you're little, when you're a little five-year-old, four-year-old toddler, and you don't know the song and you're just sitting there. But, it, you know, when you get older, you should learn. Learn the blood songs. Amen. Praise God. What can wash away our sin? Nothing but what? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? You ought to be singing that around while you're washing dishes, while you're in there cooking dinner. Slinging blood around your house. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stain. You know, praise God. Amen. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In who? In Christ. We have redemption through his blood. New Living says he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son. My God, that's good. And forgave us our sins. Amplified says, in him we have redemption, deliverance, and salvation. So some people think, well, just the cross gave me a ticket to heaven. Yeah, but it also gave you freedom and deliverance and salvation while you're here on earth. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, thank God for the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Redemption through his blood, the remission, forgiveness of our offenses, shortcomings, and trespasses, according to the riches of his generosity and his gracious favor. Oh, I love that. That's an awesome scripture. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. See, some preach only a partial gospel. In other words, when you come to Christ, you just get forgiven. but you're still bound and dead in your sins if you just are forgiven. Christ arose and took his blood up to the heavenly holy of holies as our great high priest and did it once and for all and poured out his blood on the heavenly mercy seat once and for all and said, this is payment in full from sins past, present, and future. Praise God. Somebody say praise God. We're redeemed by the blood of Jesus. We're washed in the blood of Jesus. We're blood blessed. What is redemption? It is what our Lord Jesus was doing when he died for us on the cross, shed his precious blood and raised from the dead by God his Father and carried his own blood into the heavenly holy of holies. He was paying for our freedom. He was paying for our permanent deliverance so that you and I don't have to live addicted to anything that is vicious and a vice to us, a vexation to our spirit. We don't have to be addicted to anything except God. Amen. What price did Jesus pay for our sins and purchase our salvation? 1 Peter 1:18-19 says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from the aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Everybody say the precious blood of Jesus Christ. As a lamb without blemish and without spot. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Redemption through his blood. This is the price God paid to manifest his grace, to adopt us as sons, the riches of his grace. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. Before the cross, before the blood, see, even under the Old Testament, let me back up just a little bit more. In the Old Testament, they could not even be sons of God because they were still born in sin. They needed to be born again. And so they were in a status as a servant. That's the best they can get. The Jews were servants of God, not sons of God. That means you got the DNA of God. You've got the nature of God. You got the life of God on the inside of you. Somebody say, praise of God. Hallelujah. But see, before Christ, we were slaves. And people always want to make slave a race thing. It's a human race thing. Come on now. You're very short-minded and narrow-minded when you always think of race. It's the human race that was in slavery to sin and Satan control. So when he says, in whom, he put Ephesians 1:7 up again, please. In whom we have redemption through his blood. So when you redeem something, you buy it back. You repurchase it back, you pay it in full. It's a legal and an accounting reference. So this is a transaction Jesus was doing in eternity, heaven, with his blood saying, I paid enough for all time and eternity. And I purchased their freedom from sin, deliverance from sin, and satanic control and domination. And it's enough for God to adopt them. Because if you pay for adoption of a cow, amen. Now I know one of our brothers adopted children. It costs money, doesn't it? Jesus paid the price. not only is to make us free from slavery, but also make us sons. That's the riches of his grace. God was doing this so good, he said, I'm not going to keep them as servants anymore, where they still have to, you know, don't have that status of family. I want a family. I want sons. He had the son, his son, Jesus Christ, but then he created through him many sons. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So redemption is accomplished fact in Christ. Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth shall make you free. The truth will not help you if you don't know it. Because ignorance and victory are impossible roommates. If you don't know you're free, if you don't know I've been redeemed, then you'll walk around like you're bound. That I can't get away from this habit, this addiction. I can't get away from this sickness. I can't shake off this shame or sorrow. Come on now. The devil can punch me in the nose every morning and get away with it. I can't deal with the devil. See, the gospel says to us loud and clear, brothers and sisters, you don't have to be sick no more. Amen. You don't have to be broke no more. Come on now. You don't have to be bound no more by anything. Somebody say, praise God. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. See, you must see by revelation what God has done for you. Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. God wants you to be free. He has given you this Holy Spirit so he can show you things of Christ. So the Holy Spirit has been sent to you. He lives on the inside of you if you're a born-again believer. And he takes you and says, this is what Jesus did for you. But when he did it for you. And he did it to the credit of your account like you did it. That's grace. Hallelujah. So he takes the things of Christ and translates them to you for your personal victory. God wants to see you and me free. Amen. God wants to see you and I blessed. Somebody said, praise the Lord. And you've been redeemed, then you don't worry, you don't stress out. You don't complain. You don't get cynical. You don't get critical. You don't get sad about the negative things that are coming to your life. You know, it's a tragedy or atrocity when Christians talk louder and bolder about the bad news that's happening than the good news that has happened. Amen. Why do we get that way? Why do we accentuate the negative when God has done so much positive to overwhelm anything and everything that has been negatively occurring or is going to occur in our lives? The gospel is good news. The power of the blood that it says, what can wash away my sin, sickness, Satan? Sorrow, shame are all synonymous. What can wash away my sickness? Nothing but the. Sometimes we have more faith in the sickness than we have in the blood. Because we talk more about how some person's sick. But what can wash away sickness? Now, I'm not just talking about physical sickness, because some of us struggle with that, but then mental sickness. I remember a missionary was in, a man of God was in Africa, really bad part of Africa. I mean, they practiced some serious witchcraft. And it manifested devils come out. That's how bad they, you know, some of that heavy stuff that you don't necessarily see in the States. In most places. Some places it's there, but it's not there. I mean, they directly worship the devil. I mean, it's the demonic strongholds. And they're in a meeting. open air meeting. And so they bring some of these guys in who are, they have to bind them in chains, guys. Heavy chains, both ankle and arms, because these guys are crazy. And they have dog collars on them, chokers with chains. And these guys are lined up, and they bringing them in. Why? Because he's preaching the gospel. He's talking about the blood. And only one drop of blood. So his message was one drop of blood. Now, these guys come in, they had to put little towels around their body because they run around naked, just like the people in the Bible, crying naked, cutting themselves to stone. And these guys were coming in howling like wolves and dogs, full of demons. And one of the guys, he said, he looked down from the platform. He said one of the guys had his, I'm trying not to be too gross. But he had his hands and his face in somebody else's backside or rectum part eating feces. Now, I got to get your attention. Now, I apologize, but that's a little bit too gross. He's eating. He's heads down. He's barking. He's eating like an animal. But when he heard about the blood, the blood of Jesus, the power of the blood. Come on now. Hallelujah. Praise God. All these guys, they said it was probably about 30 or 50 of them, just in chains and packed round about the altar, and they heard about Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, blood of the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. They all stopped barking and howling and looked up. And they start saying, Jesus, Jesus. Come on now, the power of the blood. And Jesus set them free that night. Come on, they came back in their right mind. They got delivered from the devil and the demonic control of Satan. Amen. Somebody say, praise God. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood. What can make us whole again? What can make you whole when you have a nervous tick? When you're sitting up there worried, can't go to sleep at night. When you're on the borderline of depression and discouragement and despair, what can wash away your sin? What can make you whole again? Amen. So we're redeemed, then you don't have to worry. Why are you talking about your money running out? Why are you talking about your money funny? Sling the blood over your checkbook. Plead the blood over your bills. Come on now. See, some of us run up against that theological brainwashing we got years ago. You say, what is that going to do? Well, faith in the blood, that means the blood represents all that Jesus did, is doing, and can ever do. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's literally the blood of God, the blood of the Son of God. Somebody say hallelujah. Why are you complaining about all the drama and trauma in your family? Have you pled the blood? Have you slung the blood? Why do you get cynical or critical? Why do you get sad and negative about things? When he gave you the blood. Whew. He gave you redemption through his blood. So what have we been redeemed from? I'm glad you asked. Sin. We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We just read that. Ephesians 1:7. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. One translation, seminary translation, says, sin shall not lord it over you. That means you're free. I'm free. Everybody say, I'm free. Sin has no more hold on you. Number two, you've been redeemed from sickness. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone who hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus, in Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So there are three simple yet powerful statements made in Galatians 3:13. Let's look at them real again. First, the fact that you are redeemed. Everybody say, I am redeemed. Because he said Christ has redeemed us. Amen. Second, that you are redeemed from the curse of the law. Third, that you were redeemed by Christ and made, Christ was made a curse for you. In other words, Christ took your curse so that you can go free. Everybody say, thank you, Lord, for turning my curse into a blessing. Upon the tree, you died for me in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, third, you've been redeemed from Satan. So you're redeemed from sickness, sin, sickness, Satan. Psalms 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So that means you got to acknowledge and act to activate your redemption. Remember that song, you guys? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, some of us aren't saying so. If you don't say it, you'll never see it. If you don't say it so, it'll never become so. Amen. You got to say, I am redeemed. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. So sickness doesn't belong in here. Satan doesn't belong in my marriage. Satan doesn't belong in my house. Satan doesn't belong in my family. Somebody said, Satan doesn't belong in my business. Satan doesn't belong in my affairs. Praise God. Say it. Say so, praise God. I'm redeemed. I'll be driving sometime down the road, and the Holy Spirit will prompt me, just like he did with Samson. Sometimes you gotta agitate the devil and make him mad. You can almost hear him cursing in the background. Oh man. He said, just bind the devil. I'll be driving down the road, 410, I-10, wherever, and I'll just say, Satan, you take your hands off my face. I command you to cease and desist in your maneuvers and stop in your operations. I am the redeemed of the Lord, and I say so, and I'll see it so in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you can see the devil scurrying up and saying, oh, we just working all weekend on trying to get him messed up. And they get out of the way. Everybody say, Satan, take your hands off my money. See, that's one of the words interchangeably used as binding. Some of y'all need to do that for your business. Satan, you take your hands off my business. Because he knows he's been defeated. But what do you have to do? Remind him and reinforce the victory of Jesus in that particular situation. Now, some of us need to learn to do this pretty a little bit more frequently than not infrequently. Amen. I can't go a whole week without dealing with the devil, telling him to take his hands off. You shouldn't either. Amen. Sometimes during the week, I might have to do it 3 or 4 times. Amen. Some weeks, I do it every day. Before I get out to work, I had to remind the devil, you take your hands off my business. You take your hand off my finances. You take your hand. See, once you've claimed that money, you got to do what? Tell the devil to take his hands off it. Because he thinks it's still his. He's going to get you to lie and deceive you into thinking, well, maybe it doesn't belong to me. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now, have you counted God's bank account yet? Or figured out his riches and glory, because that's what he said he supply all your needs. That means he's got the whole universe. You can't count God's net worth. It's uncountable. And you struggling to pay bills? He's not the one holding the money back. Y'all got quiet here. But some people won't deal with the devil when it comes to their finances. They'd rather talk about what the devil's done by taking away their finances. I ain't got no money. Well, you know, I can't afford that. I can't give. I can't pay. Who's got you hoodwinked? The devil. Oh, praise God. He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. That means the hand means control, dominion, or domination. That means the devil's got you in his grip. Get out of his grip. Amen. By using your lip. See, devil, take your hands off me. Your marriage gets flat. You get a little strife going on in the house. People arguing and fussing. Satan, you get out of here. I command peace be still in my home. Peace be still in this house. Peace be still in my marriage. Now, what do you do? What do you do when you don't know you're redeemed? What happens? You start looking at the other person sideways. Because when you're not in the spirit, you're in the flesh, and you start chewing on each other. And the devil got you taking bites and chunks out of your partner's back. Or out of your family member's backside. You become a backstabber. Remember that song by the, who was it? Temptation of Four Tops. Anybody know? Come on, y'all. They smile in your face all the while. Take your place, the best stabber. All right, I'm about to close. So I got to get to that. Because when you're not in the flesh, you become critical, cynical, judgmental, short, harsh. Is that the life that God wants you to meet? The redemption that God, Jesus paid for? Where you live scrapping and scraping and fussing and fighting? No. You're redeemed. Satan is the author of confusion. He is the originator of conflict. And he is the author of complexity. He makes things complicated. So you know he's sneaking in and creeping in when things get conflictual, confusing, or complicated. Don't get it twisted. He has already twisted it. When people's volume elevation goes up and their verbal interaction gets a little bit harsh or heated, come on now, Satan's in the middle of that stuff. You got to tell the devil, take your hands off my family. Amen. And don't go be taking it out on me or taking it out on other people. Because people love to tell me their problems and pains. Hey, here's my problem. I'm like, what do you want me to do with it? You got to deal with the devil. You got faith. It's Jesus' blood. He gave it to you just like he gave it to me. Use your blood. Use the blood. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Colossians 1:13, he delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his dear son. Now let's go to sorrow and shame, then we'll close here. Isaiah, sorrow is the fourth thing that we've been redeemed from. So many unhappy people. And it's unfortunate there's too many unhappy Christians. Now we got some yellow books back there that we brought back. We'll get more, but some of you have them already. It's the secret power of joy. God wants you being full of joy. Amen. Now, your joy level's low. What happens? You're in trouble. You've not been hanging around Jesus. You've been hanging around junk. Amen. You sitting up eating the bread of sorrows at night, wishing and wanting and worrying. That's not joy, that's sorrow. Look at Isaiah 51:11. It says, therefore the redeemed of the Lord, everybody say that's us. Everybody say that's me. Shall return and come with what? You can tell some person is sorrowful if they're not singing enough. singing doesn't mean you're a singer or a praise and worship gifted person. Singing is a byproduct of merriment, cheerfulness, joyfulness. James 5 says it this way, he that is merry, let him sing psalms. So all of us should be in a habit, if we're walking in the joy of the Lord, of singing all the time from our hearts. That may be coming out of our lips a little crazy. You know, we might not be on the right note or the right tune. But merriment springboards singing. And when people can't sing in churches because they haven't been singing in home. But he said the Redeemer of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. And what kind of joy? Everlasting joy shall be on their where? We shouldn't have anybody have to talk you up, pump you up, fire you up. Man, you should be fired up because you've been with Jesus. Amen. You've been singing to Jesus. We said the songs should be songs of adoration. That means love songs directly to the Lord. There should be songs of proclamation, songs where you proclaim God's will, God's truth, God's word, and songs of declaration, where you basically swing out over hell, like Mark Hankins says, grab a cornstalk, swing out over hell, and spit in the devil's eye. I'm declaring to you that this is going to be, turn out, all things are working together for my good, because I love God, and I'm called according to his purpose. Somebody say, praise God. I'm declaring to you, Mr. Devil, that if God be for me, this cannot be against me. If God's on my side, I will not be denied. Come on now. So I enter into my rest. I know that I'm blessed. I'll pass this test. I'll receive God's best. Somebody say, glory to God. Why are you sorrowing? He said, everlasting joy shall be on the head, and they shall obtain what? Joy and gladness. See, sorrow is contagious, but joy is even also contagious. And it says, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. What? When the Redeemer of the Lord realized I need to be hanging around Jesus during my drama. Because in his presence is what? The fullness of joy. And the right hand, at the right hand, the pleasures forevermore. Look at Isaiah 53:4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He took our griefs and our sorrows. Plural. So did you know that as a believer, you've been redeemed from the curse of grief and sorrow by the blood of Jesus Christ? He shed his blood so you don't have to be grieving and sorrowing, because stuff happens to all of us. Amen. Stuff happens in life. You know, we listened to a mighty man of God. I ushered with him in Rhema, and a beautiful man, Roy Cogsall. He owns a mechanic shop, two mechanic shops, and he owns another business and does real estate. This brother's loaded. He didn't start out that way. But he was talking about how they lost a child going to heaven. And we can relate, because we had that occur to us. And so anyway, he was talking about after the funeral and everything, and you know how traditionally and culturally people like to just run around and mully grub and mope. And what do we think? That's natural. That's normal. When the Bible says we should sorrow not as the world does, who has no hope. And some people pre-sorrow because somebody's sick and they're walking around sorrowing because they got sickness or terminal diagnosis. And so they're walking around pre-sorrowing, pre-grieving, talking about how bad it is. I had to rest so-and-so to the doctor, and they're sorrowing, and they're spreading sorrow. But he talked about it. He said, Billy Brim came into town, and they knew her through some acquaintance and relatives, and they were connected. And she showed up in a room, and Billy Brim began to just minister, just some general stuff. And she said that, he said, him, his wife, and his other child had such a heaviness on them because of what just happened in their family. That you know, he said, that thing was coming on like a cloak, like a coat. It was hanging over him like a cloud. And he said, they thought about just breaking down and just sobbing and going nuts. Now, most people think, oh, that's normal. Oh, they're. Oh, they have a right to grieve. But he said, Jesus took our griefs and sorrow. We shouldn't grieve in sorrow like the world that doesn't have any hope. That doesn't mean we don't go through grief process, but we don't have to do it like that. Amen. Amen. And get stuck anytime, anywhere. We just break down and start crying and and getting hysterical. So what did he do? She came in and she ministered just a brief moment. And she said, they looked at each other and said, where'd that grief and sorrow go? It got lifted off of them. Somebody said, glory to God. See, you don't have to put up with with sin, sickness of Satan, and the enemy of your soul begin to attack your emotions with grief and sorrow even before you lose a loved one or lose your job or lose your business or lose your good health, or you think about, well, the business is down or my sales are down or this is down. People just step over into grief over any little thing. And the devil just put a coat on them. Discouragement, depression, despair. Everybody said, we've been redeemed. Hallelujah. He said that thing came off of them, and they didn't go through any of that. And they had to resist it a couple times after that, but they said they didn't have to deal with all that. Sitting around stuck in grief and sorrow. Now, the last one is shame. And I'm going to close with this one. We've been redeemed from sin. We were redeemed from sickness. We've been redeemed from satanic control and bondage. And we were redeemed from shame. Therefore, 2 Timothy 1, 7. For God has not given us the what? Spirit of fear, but a power, love, and what? We need to remind ourselves of that. And we even have it on a confession, I think, back there, of that. You need to tell yourself every day, I don't have a spirit of fear. You going into a meeting, going to the deep business deal, you should not even entertain a spirit of fear. But a power, love, and a sound, what? A sound mind. Therefore, because you have that, he said, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Telling people about Jesus. Telling people in the middle of a room when there's unbelievers, Jesus did this. God is good. And the gospel is good. Nor are me of his prisoner. And share with me the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Now I'm going to stop right there. We are not to be ashamed. We are to share in the sufferings of the gospel. We're all going to go to hardships and pain. But we got to respond appropriately. Now would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Glory to God.